Welcome to another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, there's a lot of talk about the Olympics coming up.
Well, there should be, because it was postponed last year. And, of course, will it run is the big question.
Well, it's a good discussion to have about it, because you're an Olympian.
Yes.
And we've also got a guest today.
We do.
Paralympian. And he's been on our show before.
Malcolm Bennett.
Well done. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here. All right, now let's look at this. Now, this is the first modern Olympics, which has been held in an odd year, 2021. All the other Olympics from 1896 onwards, every 4 years except for the World Wars. So it's amazing that it's 2021, but it's still called Tokyo 2020.
Well, you've got to keep tradition, don't you? And so it is very unusual, but I guess once you've done all that branding, I mean, we know that branding is a critical part of the Olympics, and so the mascots, all the symbols, all the information that comes out with it. So, yeah, and why not call it 2020? That's when it was supposed to be held.
Well, what's your view on that, Mark?
Well, you know, they spend probably, hundreds and hundreds of millions, if not billions, on branding and advertising. So, you know, with the world economy being what it is, you keep it as 2020 and it's what it should be, you know, like Tokyo 2020 and then Paris 2024. It's just what it is and what it should be. So I say just go with it.
I'm just wondering, in 50 years' time, will they get this confused and call it 2020 rather than 2021?
They may do, but it's got a good ring to it. 2020 yeah. Versus 2021. I mean, 2020 just sounds better, even though it was a terrible year.
Yeah, it was. The dates are almost 12 months to the day. I think it was the 24th of July to the 7th of August, whereas this year it's the 23rd of July to the 8th of August. So it starts on a Friday and finishes on a Sunday.
Yes, and so it's been interesting. Again, a year ago when a decision was made to postpone the Olympics, we were probably all pretty confident that COVID would be taken care of. Mm-hmm. We'd be in a position to be able to run the Olympics, but we're sort of getting closer and closer, and there's a lot of talk now. Of course, it's such a big juggernaut, you think it's going to be hard to stop. But there's certainly a lot of discussion, especially obviously media are drumming that up about whether it should go ahead or not.
Now, Malcolm, obviously with you being a multiple Olympian in the Paralympics, what happens? Do you get a sense of pride when Olympics are upon us? Does it sort of make you reflect on your successful career?
It does now. When I initially retired, it didn't. But as sort of I've moved on and accepted my career for what it was, yeah, it does. It sort of, you know, there are people that will train, you know, the majority of their lives for one moment. You know, this may be the only Olympics that they make.
Yeah.
Because in 4 years' time, you don't know, because your whole life changes in that four-year window. I mean, I was 22 in Sydney, and I guess technically still kind of a teenager. I was 26 in Greece, and my life had changed completely. I was working and having to juggle work and training and all those sorts of things. So yeah, your life can change in that one span. You may, and there will be athletes on the other end of it, like they just want to go to one more and end on their terms.
Yeah,
and a lot of them would have said, all right, 2020 is going to be my last one. I want to go out on my terms. I couldn't do that. We all can't do that, but some will try, and there will be some that probably, when it was postponed a year, probably thought, no, I don't have another year in me. I'm going to retire. There's a lot of emotions that go through your head.
While you were competing, obviously there's a euphoria of competing. There's a lot that goes on, and a lot of goal setting and a lot of that type of emotional action. But now that you're distanced yourself from it in time, do the memories sort of bring on sort of a lot of good memories and a lot of emotions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I look back now and I don't remember all the races and all that, but what I do remember is all the friendships that you make, the lifelong friendships that, you know, to this day are still friendships. Like, you know, I wouldn't have known Sean if I didn't take up this sport.
Now, Sean, what about you? I mean, you're two times Olympian. I mean, I know you had success with a couple of gold medals at Commonwealth Games, and you were eighth at one of the Olympics. Do those memories sort of are they enhanced as time goes by?
I don't know about enhanced. I've never been one to really dwell on the past, to be honest. I'm a little bit different there. I think Malcolm made a good point about the Olympics for and people who a lot of the sports that obviously are at the Olympics, you're really training for that one moment. And yes, we get to compete in other competitions, but it really, and I think that's what people find difficult, because if you're playing a normal sort of team game where you're getting your home and away competition and grand finals, etc., you get to compete a lot, whereas a lot of Olympic sports, you are really preparing for that one moment. And I think, Malcolm, that's spot on what you were saying, because, and that's where there's got to be a lot of thought go into this about, do we go, do we support the athletes going? Because it's easy for us to sit back now when it doesn't affect us and go, I don't think people should go, it's, you know, it's not safe, etc. But I would certainly think, if I'm thinking back then, nothing would have really, I would have gone. It wouldn't have stopped me. I'd want to be there. I want to compete. I want to represent my country at the Olympics. So, but, you know, to go back to your original question, I mean, I don't look back now. I mean, I look back with pride of what I've done, but I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. And there's nothing you can do about it now. It was part of my life. And obviously all that work that you do, and it does shape your character and the person you are, and does have impacts on, obviously, down the track on how you deal with things.
Now, you're talking about various sports. There's 46 sports at Tokyo this year, and of those sports, I've identified possibly 19 where we've got a good chance at getting a medal. I mean, obviously, swimming and cycling are two of the stronger ones, but there's so many other things we've had success, like I see there's surfing in there, triathlon, tennis. You know, there's a whole lot of things we're pretty good at, archery. Even basketball, women's basketball, we've had some success.
We've dominated.
So what other sports do you think Australia is a good medal chance, especially gold medal?
I'm just looking at your list there. Now, you've also got BMX, which we've done very well in. Equestrian's always been really strong for us. Hockey, you know, we probably weren't around as well as we – last time we sort of struggled a bit, but we've certainly been very strong in hockey, haven't we?
Yeah.
And you'd have to think rugby as well.
Yeah, the woman won it last time, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and so we've, I mean, yeah, again, we always know that Australians, we punch above our weight, don't we, the Olympics? Like we, the people that we are, the way we go about our business means that we're going to be successful. So I think that's why Australians love the Olympics, because we do, I mean, we're not going to dominate like the Americans and so on, but we do very well for the small country that we are.
See, for me personally, baseball's back, baseball and softball, which I'm really pleased about. That's my favourite sport. But athletics would have to be my favourite Olympic sport. And I just, you know, it doesn't have to be in Australia. It's just seeing that you know, one-on-one type of battle between the best couple of people in an athletic event. It's just something about that which screams Olympics to me.
Yeah, and that's always the sort of shame for athletics, because we know what a great sport it is, of course, but it's one of those events every 4 years, other people appreciate it. But in the meantime, you know, track and field, especially in Australia, the athletes and coaches struggle to be able to get on with things and do the best they can with very limited support and funding. But, you know, the track and field, you're looking, again, when we watch team sports, we're looking at great athletes, don't get me wrong. But when we watch track and field, you're looking at the extreme end of athletes in their chosen field. So if I'm looking at the best sprinters, they are the fastest people in the world. If I'm looking at your middle distance, these guys and girls can run at incredible speeds for, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. And when you look at the speed, it's just unbelievable. Like teams, athletes can't do that. If I look at the marathon, you know, you've got people who are running at 21 kilometers an hour for wow. 2 hours. Now, this is crazy stuff. You know, this is, and that's what people, and you think, wow, people who are out jogging versus that. You look at the jumping, how powerful. I mean, when you say to kids, hey, the world record in high jump's 2:45, when you show them that, it's just, how do they do that? Again, the throwers, they're the strongest, most powerful athletes in the world. So we get to see that and appreciate that at a different level than – you don't see those things in a lot of team sports.
No. Now, Malcolm, you're obviously into athletics, but what other sports at the Olympics really resonate with you?
Well, I'm a fan of the basketball and generally most sports overall. I mean, I'm Australian, so I enjoy the swimming because we're successful at that. I think we're a good chance in beach volleyball. And I think depending on if countries can go and countries can't go, depending on their situation with the coronavirus, things could change really quickly. I mean, just putting out, imagine if the Americans couldn't send a full-strength track and field team.
Yeah.
You know, that changes things.
makes you think.
Italy or Jamaica. That changes things.
Makes you think of 1980 with Moscow and 84 with LA.
You know, we could win. We could be a chance for medals that you know we didn't think we had. But having said that, we have athletes at the moment that are competing at home and overseas that have times that are comparable to get on the podium if they have the confidence in their own ability to just go out there and do it. You know, their times at the moment stack up with the best athletes on the world, full stop. So I think we could pick up a few extra track and field medals.
Yeah, well, I really hope so. I'd love to see the hammer. So if we got a medal in the hammer, I'm sure Sean and I could have a really good discussion about that. But look, now, Tokyo, they've had Tokyo was 64. I remember Dawn Fraser got in a bit of trouble with the flag sort of back in Tokyo. Hopefully we won't get a repeat of that.
Well, we're still talking about it a long time later, so why not?
You know, they were the first Asian Summer Games, weren't they?
I think so. I believe so. I was thinking about that, like, you know, we think sort of Oceania and Australia's this. If we get 2032, that'll be our third Olympics.
Yeah, Melbourne 56, and of course Sydney 2000.
Yeah. So probably you think. I mean, China have had a few now. Japan will be a couple. But so you think some of these developing Asian countries will certainly be putting their hand up to also get the Olympics.
I see Beijing, who's had the Summer Olympics, they got the Winter Olympics in 2022.
Yes, yeah.
And then at this stage I see Paris, which had the Olympics in 1900 and 1924, they're going to be 2024, so that's a centenary from the their second hosting. And then LA, 1932 and 1984, 2028. And at this stage, Brisbane 2032 seems in the box seat.
Yeah, it's a big process though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting the – and we know like the effort that goes into actually getting the Olympics, whether it's summer or winter. And remember Sydney, I mean, everyone was watching, weren't we? That was back in the day when we actually watched TV. And we're all sitting around waiting for that announcement. And you remember it?
Yes.
Sydney.
Yeah.
And people went absolutely ballistic. So it'd be interesting, I guess, like, and the way that media and stuff is delivered now is different. But, 2032, I mean, it seems a long way away, doesn't it?
It does.
It will come around quickly.
Now, Malcolm, one of the something of interest that we were discussing beforehand, you were talking about the economic value of the Olympics for various cities. Do you want to sort of expand a little bit on that?
Well, I mean, so from my perspective in Sydney, so basically everything that was used, the Olympic Village and all the venues were repurposed into something else. So like the Olympic Village in Sydney is a suburb. I think the gymnastics centre is a Woolworths, those sort of things. And then you look at in Greece, I mean, within a year it was all run down and not reused. I mean, they didn't even reuse the pool. I think it's a good thing for countries to look at. How can we reuse what we build, because they would spend hundreds of billions of dollars to build all these great, great places and buildings and stadiums, and then not reuse them. It just, to me, it doesn't make sense. If you can reuse them, reuse them. But I guess it looks at too. Are you a country that loves doing sport opposed to a country that loves watching sport? It means you're going to, if you love doing sport, you're going to use facilities more.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't think in Greece, I think they love watching sport. I never really got the vibe that they enjoyed. Like, there was mass participation in sport when I was there. I mean, it's something I think all countries should look at because it costs a lot of money. And, you know, Tokyo is one. Are you going to get – how much of that money are you going to get back?
Yeah, it's a tough one. With the pandemic, what are they going to have? Are they going to have, like, 50% audiences or
– yeah, you just don't know. I mean, what if they can't have any? You know, then they're going to be billions and billions of dollars in the hole. So hopefully there is a way they can repurpose what they've built.
And have we seen the end of the village, the Olympic Village?
I hope not, because it is such an experience to be in there. I mean, the dining hall is an experience in itself. For the Paralympics, it's a little bit different because we, like, you'll walk in there and you'll see a guy eating his food with his feet and all sorts of things. But you'll just go and sit with people from another country and sit on the same table and have dinner and just chat and make friends.
So I think we're all in agreement that Brisbane 2032 would be a good thing, Malcolm.
I think it would be a great thing.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Well, so ends another Cut and Load Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.